The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, September 9th, 2024.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, it's a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. My heart goes out to all the folks up in Lake County having this horrible, horrible fire. Boy, I'll tell you something. Global warming is just alive and well here in the United States as well as across the country. Amazing. Anyway, I have a very special guest with me this morning. Joining me on the phone will be Jody Evans, co-founder and board member of Code Pink. She's been a peace environmental activist, a women's rights activist, and also a social justice activist. I would say she's a very, very busy woman, excuse me, for the past 50 years. Jody will be talking about her recent book, The Local Peace Economy, which will cover many, many different strategies, how we can go about getting peace in this world. She will also share her experiences and insights about her visits to Gaza and Palestine. I've been watching Code Pink for years and years. A shout out to Medea Benjamin, who was one of the founders also. And it's just amazing how these women have stood up to power and have done so many amazing things. And I'm really looking forward to interviewing her. It's an honor to have her on the line with me today. Let me give you a little background about Code Pink. Code Pink is a feminist grassroots organization working to end the United States warfare and imperialism, to support peace and human rights initiatives, and redirect resources into health care, education, green jobs, and other life-affirming programs. Wow, doesn't that sound great? Life-affirming programs are investments in social programs that uplift human dignity instead of tearing it down. They believe in universal health care, which must include the right to an abortion, and we'll add that, the right to choose, access to education, and just housing and human rights. I mean, it's just an amazing organization. And one of the things, like I said, I've been watching, I've been aware of Code Pink since they began, and they are an amazing women's organization and take a lot of risk and really stand up and let it known that how badly we want peace. I mean, when you really start, you know, polling people or talking to them, most people want peace. Most people want us all to get along. And I don't know why it's such a hard process. And I'm hoping in talking about this book, this workbook that she has developed, it will really, really inspire us. You know, and she talks a different, it's called, we are the seed for the local peace economy. And I love that. I love that expression. Well, I have a few announcements. First of all, this was an amazing weekend. I mean, we celebrated my great-granddaughter Satori's birthday. She's 6 years old. Just an amazing young woman. I couldn't believe it. She plays soccer and she loves giraffes. I actually found a giraffe playing soccer. I mean, if you can imagine that. And the second family issue is my beautiful granddaughter, Caitlin Jensen, is getting married on October 5th of this year, and we had her bridal shower, and it was absolutely wonderful. I mean, people came in from all over California just to celebrate this with her, and I want to do a shout out with her. She just looks so beautiful. And a shout out to her friends who put this together, Brianna and my mind is going blank. What's the other young woman, the other young man's name?
Griffin.
I'm so sorry, Griffin. Excuse me. I mean, sometimes when I get up in the morning, it's a little bit of a blank. And also today is my my niece's birthday, Yulon Holtz. She's going, I don't know what age she is now, but she's traveling and she's just an amazing young woman. We adopted her from China and I'm just so proud of her and some of the goals that she's achieved. I mean, it's just really amazing. So happy birthday, Yulon, and I look forward to seeing you. We'll all see each other in San Diego when we go to the wedding with Katie. I mean, I just can't believe my granddaughter is getting married. It's just an amazing thing. Anyway, like we do every single Monday morning, we do a program and we call it Our History is Our Strength, and many, many things have happened, and I'm just going to do some special happy birthdays. And on September 8th, 1859, and she made her transition in 1918, was Mary M. Kimball Q. She was a union organizer and co-founder of the Union for Industrial Progress in 1892. Can you imagine a woman standing up for labor in 1892? And she was the first president of the National Women's Trade Union League in 1903. And what's amazing that I find when I do these little history spots is to find how active women really were in organizing unions, in looking to stand up for workers and make sure that they have workers' rights. And it's when you start thinking about it, we did a program last week on labor unions, and when you think about it, if it wasn't from the unions, we would not have 8-hour days, we would not have some of the benefits that we have. And at one time, workers were not even allowed to take a break, if you can imagine that. So we have come a long way. And then on September 8th, she was born in 1945, and she made her transition in 1995. That was Esther Rome. She was with 13 other women, created the Boston Women's Health Book Collective, the basis for the groundbreaking health manual, Our Bodies, Ourselves, which provided accurate information on women's health. And, you know, this brings back such a strong memory to me because I came to Sonoma State in 1973, and it was kind of the height of the women's movement. They had a huge women's studies department. A shout out to our director, which was Ann Neal. She was just amazing and so encouraging. And when Our Bodies came out, Our Bodies Ourselves came out, it was amazing because I didn't know half of the things about my own body. I mean, I know I had a body because I was walking around, but I never thought much of it. And I was in one of our classes and we were all talking about natural birth and all that stuff. And I remember getting very, very upset because I had a cesarean, and all the women came around and comforted me, and they talked about having a cesarean and how no matter what, the point is that as women, we bring forward life. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's very, very difficult. For me, it was very, very difficult. But I'm grateful. I had a beautiful, beautiful daughter here's my granddaughter getting married, and here my great-granddaughter having her birthday being 6 years old. What an amazing life, huh? So much to be grateful for. You know, it's interesting because for one of the presents that I gave my granddaughter Katie was I gave her a towel, and a little dish towel, just one dish towel, and on it, it had thankful. And I said, just put this in your kitchen and just look at it every day. Just be thankful that you got up in the morning. Be thankful that you're getting married, that you found yourself a beautiful mate. Be thankful of the world as it is in that moment. And when you listen to Amy Goodman, who's on before me, and you listen to the struggles that are going on in Gaza, I mean, it just breaks my heart. And at the same time, these people are so resilient. And they still move forward and trying to do the best they can. And I'm really looking forward to talking with Jody Evans about some of her opinions about what's going on in Gaza and the involvement that Code Pink has had. Well, for our last birthday, she was born September 10th, 1890, and she made her transition in 1980. That's Rose Norwood. She was a powerful speaker and labor organizer from Kiev, Ukraine. I mean, here we are, a war in Ukraine right now. She organized the Boston's Woman Trade Union, WTL, and she led many, many, many strikes. An amazing woman. And she also managed to be on the advisory committee for the NAACP, which I think is amazing. And one of the things that I find out more and more about these women that get involved, they don't just get involved in one thing. They get involved in many things. They have their, they let their voices be known. You know, it's just, it's really an amazing thing when you start reading the history about women. Well, and also today's a very, very special day. It's California Admission Day, which is observed on September 9th each year. It commemorates the day California was admitted to the Union in the as the 31st state in 1850 after it was conceded to the United States by Mexico in 1848. Amazing. So here we are. Happy birthday, California Admission Day. I love California. You know, it was really interesting. I went to New York when I was 18 years old, and when the winter came upon and the snowstorms hit, I was just floored. Here I was, a California girl. During Christmas, we could go to the beach. Amazing. We could go to the beach. Well, anyway, I want to do a shout out to all the folks that are working in the Sonoma County Democratic Club. They're trying to get our Board of Supervisors to pass a resolution to cease hostilities in the Middle East. And there's a big question on why that hasn't happened. You know, I think it's very important that cities and states and countries stand up for peace and say enough is enough. You know, there's got to be a better way. I mean, we are at the brink of so many dangerous experiences could happen to us as a human race that I think it's very important that we start thinking about that. And here, this is how we do it. We do it through resolutions. And I want to do a shout out to the Sonoma County Democratic Club for actually coming forth with this resolution and suggesting it to the Board of Supervisors. So let's get to work. You know, we all want peace, and peace starts at home. It really does. It starts with each one of us, and it also starts with your officials that are running the country that, we got to wake up and have a better way here. Well, that's about it for this morning, and we are now going to take a musical break, and Ken's going to get Jody Evans on the line, and the song that we're going to be playing are The Times They Are A-Changing by the Brothers and Sisters, and I cannot believe how many times I play this song because times are changing, and I believe people are waking up. I mean, here we are. We really have a chance to bring in a woman's president. I mean, that would be amazing, and I really say, you know, give peace a chance and give her a chance. We'll see what happens. I know there's a lot of pros and cons, but there's always pros and cons, and one of the things I've learned in my relationships, my 84 years on this planet, is there's no perfect relationship. All we can do is try to get better, improve, add things, take things away that don't work, but just keep working on it because at the end, the prize is peace on earth. And the amazing thing is that we have people like Jody Evans and Code Pink that are standing up and then also writing books and writing things that are helping us not only to understand the importance of peace and the way to peace, but also to look inside of ourselves to see how we can work on our own issues and become even more peaceful ourselves. You know, there's a saying, you know, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. It's a very, very simple idea, but boy, it's sure hard to get there. So let's go ahead and play that song. And when I return, I will be talking with Jody Evans, co-founder of Code Pink, Women for Peace. We will be talking about her recent book, The Local Peace Economy, which will cover peace economy strategies. And she will also share her experiences, insights about her visits to Gaza in Palestine. So let's go ahead, Ken.
Rich to the bone.
Yes, the times are a-changing. And it's we, the people, who help make those changes, and we must always be reminded of that. For you just joining, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. We are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest. Joining me on the phone is Jody Evans. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Elaine. Lovely to be with you this morning.
Oh, welcome. Welcome to Women's Spaces. It's such an honor to have you on. You know, I've been watching Code Pink for years and years. I mean, I love Madea Benjamin, and just having you on the show this morning is a big honor to me. So do you mind if I tell folks just a little bit about you?
Sure. Or they can discover as we talk, however you prefer.
Okay, here we go. Jody Evans is the co-founder of Code Pink, and 826 LA is a seasoned activist with a focus on peace, environmental, and social justice. For over 50 years, she has championed peaceful conflict resolution and local peace economies through war divestment. Evans has served on boards including the Rainforest Action Network and the Institute of Policy Studies, and is a lifetime director of the Hereditary Disease Foundation. You're a farmer and a mother and a grandmother, and she's a co-editor of the influential books such as Twilight of Empire and Stop the Next War Now. And Stop the Next War Now, I have to say, is an absolutely excellent book. Evans also supports local agriculture, contributes to the World Festival of Sacred Music. Today we'll be talking about her recent book, and that is The Local Peace Economy, which will cover local peace economy strategies. And also, she is a peace activist very dedicated to ending the conflicts in Gaza, in Palestine, and we're going to talk about that. And I'm really interested to know her perspective. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to add before we begin, Jody?
No, that's a lot. Let's just talk.
Okay. Well, I think it's so important that people really know how involved that you've been and the contribution that you have made to women. It's just amazing to me. Well, to begin with, let's talk about how you first got involved with Code Pink, and what are some of the challenges you experienced at the beginning, and tell us a little bit about the background. Who are Code Pink and how was it developed?
So we called Code Pink when Bush was frightening the American people into war with his color-coded alerts, orange, red, and yellow. We said Code Pink for peace. And, you know, I have been a peace activist since the 60s and had been in the streets in 91 around the first, you know, incursion into Iraq. And I loved Iraq. And so when I saw that Bush wanted to go to war on an innocent country that had nothing, that had been under our sanctions, I just couldn't believe it. And then when he was saying they have weapons of mass destruction, well, I had been working in Watts for the last, a black neighborhood in Los Angeles, for the last, like, decade, because we were trying to get peace after the Rodney King uprising, and had gotten money from the police department to work on community policing with, you know, helping the gangs. And I learned from all these gang members that their dads had been in Vietnam, and that I realized inside my city, 20,000 people had been murdered in 20 years. So the war zone had come home to my city, and nobody talked about it. Not the media, nobody. It was just, you know, nobody talked about PTSD, nobody supported the vets. And I really knew from my own city the cost of war, both globally, because I, you know, fought against the Vietnam War, but then also that it comes home. So that's what took me on a plane to D.C., and I found Madea at a conference, and I found Starhawk at the same conference, and Caroline Casey was, I called her up, and I called up another bunch of girlfriends and had them come meet at my girlfriend's house, and I said, you know, we've got to do something tomorrow. They're going to put this resolution forth. And so we planned and planned, and we started the next morning out with a banner hang at the White House, a big giant one, and Diane Wilson got up on the pole of the White House to hang the banner, and, you know, they were signing the proclamation and doing the press conference in the Rose Garden, and all the media comes running out because they think it's a terrorist attack, you know, because everybody had been so frightened. And when they found out it was an anti-war activist, they just quit paying attention, and it went off the story. Then we painted doves of peace, and we put them. We took our shirts off, put them on our bras, and on our belly. We said, "We might just know war in Iraq," and we stood on the steps of Congress and talked to members of Congress and everybody going into Congress. That's when you could still stand on the steps of Congress and talk to them about their, you know, the lies that were driving this war. And then we stood in line and disrupted the hearing, the Hyde hearing that night. And so Medea and Diane got arrested that day, and I would say it's a rinse and repeat. We do that every day since we started. We get in the face of power. We do it creatively and colorfully. We don't let power get away with murder. At least we're shining a light on it. If we can't, you know, I say we can't end the war till we end the war economy. So what we do is we shine a light. We expose what's happening, because the mainstream media isn't going to tell you the violence that your tax dollars are funding, which means 65% of your tax dollars goes to war. And that American people allow that to happen is always shocking for me, that that's like what everybody thinks is okay. And, you know, the war on terror that started after, you know, we started Code Pink, it cost trillions and trillions. They say $20 trillion, and it killed almost 6 million people. So as we're looking at Gaza right now and watching that, that was happening on steroids, but not like in one little teeny place. But we fully, you know, disrupted and were violent across the Middle East. Because, you know, the war on terror, it started in Afghanistan and then Iraq, but, you know, Syria and Libya and so much of the Middle East has been turned into a war zone. And when I say a war zone, I want us all to feel what that is.
Well, before we go into that, because I want to get into your experience in Gaza and with Palestine and all that, but I want to ask you a question before that, because this is Women's Spaces, and one of the things that I really try to inject is where women get the courage. I mean, because I have watched you. I've watched Medea stand up in Congress. I've watched her being thrown out, wrestled down. I mean, you name it. I mean, I've cried sometimes when I've seen it. Where do you get the courage, and how do you maintain yourself? You know, I mean, when you're telling me and you're telling our audience, when you think about it, $20 trillion. I mean, my God, we could have fed the world with that, you know. And then you think of how many people have died, you know. And here you are standing up, truth to power. How do you get the courage inside of yourself to do that? And what would you suggest to women who want to stand up but maybe are a little bit nervous about it?
Well, I stand with courageous women every day, all day in Congress, disrupting with us. I mean, what you don't see is that there's dozens and dozens and dozens always with us and doing, you know, the most disruptive work and going to jail. And, you know, Medea and I have both been to jail over 100 times.
I know.
So I don't think it takes, I mean, courage is, you know, the root of courage is heart. And I think what it takes is love. And, you know, when you love, none of the consequences matter, right? It's like, how can I live in a world that I don't stand up against when it's violent and it's violent, you know, it's violent to U.S. taxpayers by taking their money and creating more violence. You know, there's nothing more destructive to the planet or core to creating climate change than war. I don't think it takes, I mean, I think when your heart is moved, you just move. I mean, as mothers, we know that. And it's really funny because, you know, so many women, they come, okay, I'm just going to go in the halls of Congress with you. I'm not going to do what you do, but, and then they do more than we do. And they're more courageous than we are. It's like in you. And I think what we do at Code Pink, I say, you know, when I first started Code Pink, I said, well, all I want this to be is a container of support for women across the board, across the world, to be engaged in action against the violent empire and the violence that is inflicted on them daily. And, you know, it takes many, many forms.
Well,
and
you know.
So... we create that container. We create what we say, we educate, inspire, and activate at Code Pink. So, you know, I would say that many of the local organizations have come up with some of the most amazing things that Code Pink has ever done. Desiree was in a hearing with us, with Condi Rice, asking for more money for the war in Iraq. And she had a red paint on her hands and put her bloody hands around Condi Rice's face.
Oh, I remember that like it was yesterday.
So what we do is we be visual what isn't being spoken. We shine a light on what isn't being paid attention to. So by doing that, the whole world got to see what no one would write, but everyone knew was true. And so I want to say that, in New York City, the local came up with the little kid's shoes with the tie of a price tag that just said the name of the Iraqi child that was dead and lined them up outside of Hillary Clinton's office that went around the country. And then Bets for Peace picked it up with boots. You know, the creativity, the heart, the love, what comes out of our hearts, it arises. And what power tries to do is silence us. And certainly we've seen this around the Gaza war. Everything, all the stupidity that comes out of the Zionist mouth is meant to silence us. And what you see is an uprising of people who will not be silenced. And some people feel more comfortable than others in being in public spaces and taking risks. And that's a personal thing. I think Medea and I are both extroverts, but, I've seen the shyest person, like Leslie Angeline, who lives in Santa Rosa, who came to join us, 15 years ago, and started a hunger strike to try to stop the war that was about to go on Iran. And she sat in a member of Congress's office for a month in a hunger strike. And we're trying to wear that person down. In the end, that member of Congress ripped up the resolution that would have been an act of war on Iran. So we have no idea what our actions are going to do. We do know we are water and we are wearing them down. But if we don't show up, we know what the result is. So I would say, in the face of all the things they do to make showing up and not agreeing with the violence, it's a multitude of, millions of women and men that show up with us all over the world and all over this country, at a Congress member's office, we had a whole 4 years of a divest from war campaign during Trump because it was we moved out of D.C. because we realized that was going to be a shit show and not anything a lot of our energies was going to be able to affect. So we went in all the communities to teach them about the fact that, everything they're part of is invested in weapons. How are you going to end war when your schools, your churches, your cities are making money from it?
Well,
making a killing on killing, we used to say.
You brought up two important things. If you don't stand up, it just continues. That's number one. And the second, Lynn, that I really focus on a lot is I do not understand how any woman or any mother or any grandmother, I'm a great-grandmother myself, so I look at my great-grandchildren, I think to myself, I cannot be silent. Forget it. I'm worried about their future. And I really question that very, very hard. And I question also sometimes when women go against women when they're standing up, because I think there's a lack of understanding of how important it is that your voice is heard when you're against something. So I really want to thank you for sharing all that, because it is so important that people understand that once you never know what's going to happen until you show up. I know we were involved in a lot of things here in Sonoma County, and we changed a lot of things, but it was showing up. It was people being angry at you, saying things that whatever goes on, but the idea is to show up. Well,
let me just, because you're talking about something really important, especially now. So the reason I talked about why Code Pink creates containers for people to be engaged was that if there was Code Pink and if we had talking points and if we had actions, a lone woman standing outside a military base would feel supported, because they know the support of women. And so that's why Code Pink is a container. We're a team that support people to be engaged. We give them talking points. We give them posters. We give them all kinds of things. So it's more what Code Pink is, that space to support those who want to be in action, because it is important to do it with support and not alone, because the togetherness is what gives it its force. The pro-Palestinian movement, think is probably the most powerful thing we've seen in a very long time. It moved a president from being able to be the nominee of his party. That is power, and that's power together. Now, nobody's working, like, there are 500 of us groups, and we are not working in daily contact, but it's that constant wearing away. But let's go back to, like, the women that get upset. So, you know, it's important that we, you know, look at women, but we also have to know that everyone is vulnerable to be co-opted by the war economy. So there is a war economy, which I recognized when I was trying to end war. And it is the extractive, destructive, oppressive economy that is killing you, your community, and the planet. And we can't end war till we end that, because war is serving it. And then there's a peace economy, the giving, sharing, caring, thriving, relational, resilient economy, without which none of us would be alive. But when you have been brainwashed, because the war economy is the culture we live in, when you have been brainwashed and told stories and pulled into the war economy that is life, you're going to be dumb. And you are going to try to protect what is giving you think, life. And so people that are very attached to the war economy are going to be violent to you when you're trying to say that's not the right thing. And when it looks like you're trying to disrupt the thing that they hold dear and that holds their life together. So I would say, good fingers, be patient. Nobody chooses to be usurped by the war economy. Maybe a few people, but not most people. But when it is the only thing that you have been fed with your whole life, and we're watching it happen globally, there used to be cultures that didn't have it in it, but the war economy is trying to infect every culture around the world. We're watching cultures disappear. So the culture that is no culture, the war economy culture that eradicates all cultures, is winning. And so whenever someone tells me, gets mad at me, I there's a Gloria Steinem quote that I use, which is, the truth will set you free, but first it will piss them off. And that is because they are camping on the structure to give them safety and security, which is the lie that holds together the whole war economy. There's no safety and security that can be given by war. There is only more war and more violence and more your life being used by the war economy.
Well, it's
security, and security and safety happen in peace. They happen in cooperation and caring and in love. And that's what we know as women. But all people are vulnerable to be used by power and greed and the corruption that is the United States of America, an empire that needs to be over.
It's amazing when you start thinking about it and you put it in those words. It's like sometimes it feels so overwhelming, but at the same time, at least you know exactly what the issue is. You know that you have to change. It's so important. Well, we're coming very close to the end of the first segment, and I hope you stay with me because then we'll take a musical break and then we're going to get into your new book, which by the way, I went to that seminar that you gave and it really opened my heart to a whole bunch of ideas. And I want you to know I did not feel, for the first time, I felt I was not alone in this world. And I've as many times as I've been to different, I just felt that, yes, this is that what you're coming out with and what you're going to other levels. And I just think it's amazing. But the thing is that Code Pink has been very, very involved. I know for myself, I was born into a Jewish family, and it's taken me about almost 10 years before I finally said, oh my God, this is not right, because you have to let go of your whole past and everything else that's involved with it. But I know that you have been very, very involved with Gaza, with going to Gaza and speaking with the people and being part of it. So talk about that a little bit. What are you finding as you go on these different trips there and visit with the people? What are you seeing, and what are some of the ideas that you have for a solution?
Well, I don't have ideas for a solution except to end the genocide and the occupation of the land that belongs to the Palestinian people, and quit weaponizing Israel. Those would be my solutions. But the you know, I've been engaged in the issue of Palestine and Israel for over 50 years. I joined Peace Now in the 70s, which was kind of all there was to, like, learn and see. And so, you know, just watching the process and knowing that it was wrong, that it was an oppression of a beautiful culture. And, you know, when you think you watch houses be destroyed and nature be destroyed, that's not how somebody treats their land. So if, you know, already could see that it was a lie about this is our land, because you care for the land, you nourish the land, that's what peace is. Peace is be in harmony with. And I wasn't seeing that. And then, you know, when Operation Cast Lead happened in 2008, Code Pink started taking trips to Gaza. We took over 1,000 people in like 8 trips over 2009, and then had the Gaza Freedom March in the end of the year. And what I did witness in taking people, and some of my Jewish friends came back, they couldn't talk for a month because they couldn't believe how they'd been lied to. Because there they were inside of this open air violent prison where all these people were being held prisoners. Not only prisoners, but they weren't allowed much because you couldn't get it in. And we went with Pat Adams and clowned on the border to point out how ridiculous and stupid and violent the laws were. And I've been arrested in Palestine because I stood up to a Palestinian that was being attacked by a settler, and I'm the one that got arrested. So, you know, it's very clearly, President Carter said in 2006 it was an apartheid, but it's been very clear for a very, very long time what an apartheid is and how violently this land was stolen from these people. So, you know, for starters, we just need to stop supporting a genocide and stop supporting the violence of Zionism. I mean, it's a violence, and it attacks human rights. And the fact that our Congress stood up clapping Bibi Netanyahu, a madman, an absolute psychopath, that the world is letting a psychopath do this, says a lot about who the world, the power of the world serves. And it's just got to go. I mean, it's not just about Palestine and Israel. The fact that the United States, you know, that they could use a black woman in the UN to raise her hand and stop the rest of the world, 7 billion people, from saying ceasefire is insane. And that we accept this it's our own insanity. So how do I stay sane in the midst of this? Even how did I stay sane in the midst of what we did, killing 6 million people? It's all about the people. And the people in the United States have given their power away to those in the White House. They've been sold the idea of a two-party system that's democracy, which it isn't. The system just serves the rich. And so, you know, the problem is we need to stop investing ourselves, stop investing our money, and start building something else. Power will behave like power. And now, in this 2024, there has never been anything like this in history, where power has been so concentrated, have so much devastating violence that can, I mean, why does nobody act in support of Palestine? Because the United States has nuclear weapons.
Well, let me ask you a question.
It's a violence.
Let me ask you a question here. So with all this going on, you know, and it feels to me of late that it's harder and harder to get support. So what are some of the suggestions that you make to people? How can people support this? What can they do? I know one thing you can do. I know we went in front of the Democratic Club here in Sonoma County, and they did a resolution to cease fire. And now we're trying to go the next step is to get the Board of Supervisors to pass it. And it just seems like it's a tremendous task. What do you suggest? Just a quick idea of what people can do. I mean, I know the most important thing is to show up, write letters, you know, but what are some other ideas that you have?
Well, I would start with find a community. Find the community near you that is engaging and join them. Because, like I said earlier, the one-offs aren't as effective as what you do as a community. And I say what you do as a community because the war economy has 23 ways that is created addictions inside of you that then allows it to use you. And we need to take ourselves off the war economy and start building a peace economy. And one of the first steps, the very first step, is community. And that means community in the sense of real community. I am a community member. I am responsible to my community. I show up for my community. Because we live in a culture of individualism that is, it's self-violent. It's violent to us as individuals. It's violent to our lives and each day. And it's violent to the planet and people. So find a community first. Because even if it's just two of you, when you start there, it will build. And then come together to make a commitment to each other to do something once a week. You know, flyer at the farmer's market. We have flyers on the Code Pink website. You know, what we're watching with Gaza is the mainstream media is not telling us the truth. And it's really like disappeared in what's happening. I mean, stuff happens every day, horrible things. Like, you know, an American woman was just shot in the West Bank. But you're not reading that in the mainstream media. So be the story. What you're doing in Sonoma is great. Because you come together, you teach each other. It just being together supports you through hell. What we are watching, our psyches are not conditioned to take. And the nourishment for that, the help through, is to be engaged in community. And I'm out there every day because I get engaged by being together with like-minded, good-hearted, you know, people who are willing to step out of their comfort zones and engage.
Okay, let's hold.
The more we do it, the more we create safe space for others to do the same.
Let's hold that thought because we're going to take a musical break, because when we're going to come back, we're going to talk about your recent publication, which I actually love. And one of the quotes that I have been saying over and over is, I am the seed for local a peace economy. I've been saying that over and over and over again. So let's go ahead. Let's take a musical break. We're going to play a song called This Is My Wish, sung by Voltaire. It's a perfect song. We're just going to play a little part of it. And when we come back, we're going to continue with our conversation with Jody Evans, co-founder of Code Pink, and we're going to talk about her recent publication, and it's all about the finding your local peace economy and finding ways that you can be involved. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play that. Let's just play half of the song, and then we will be returning. So hold on. We'll be right back, Jody.
This is my wish. My wish for the world, that peace will find its way to every boy and girl. This is the time for harmony. Let love be the song that everybody sings.
I hear the sweetest sound, the sound of hope to come. Together we could bring goodwill to everyone. Let it start with you. Let it start with me. Let every nation rise and sing this melody.
Yes, peace on earth begins with you and me. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Eblaine Holt, and I'm continuing my conversation with Jody Evans, co-founder of Code Pink, Women for Peace. For this segment, we're going to talk about her recent publication, The Local Peace Economy. And by the way, I was able to attend the discussion at the Peace and Justice Center about this, and it inspired me so much that I got her on the phone and said, you got to come on and talk about this. So, Jody, you know, this is a real important work that you've written. To begin with, talk about what motivated you to write this workbook, The Local Peace Economy, and what do you hope that people get out of it? I mean, and why do you think it's important at this time?
Well, I mean, peace economy has been part of Code Pink for a really long time, from when I realized that I wasn't going to end war until I ended the war economy. And it's just been developing as I've been reminding everyone, you know, one of the ways I keep the activists healthy is like, no, please don't go at this like you're going to end war. Go at it like you're shining a light on or disrupting. But if you think you're going to end war, you're going to get frustrated and it's going to make you feel bad. So, right, you know, helping our community have right attention, right, you know, right intention for our work helps us not get worn out and helps it be more joyful. So, and then I, you know, really learned that there's, wow, there are these 23 addictions the war economy forces on us that, to succeed in it, that take it, unroot us, take us out of being really human or rooted somewhere. And when we're unrooted, we can be used, and then it uses us with the propaganda and narratives instead of our experience of life. And, you know, then you've got add technology and all of that and everybody working, and you've taken away what was the nourishing sustenance of life, the commons, and you've privatized it and made everybody robots. But there's this peace economy that has always existed. It is why life exists. And every indigenous culture knows it. Every good, you know, culture knows what the peace economy is. It's the giving, sharing, caring, thriving, resilient community without which we wouldn't be alive. And it starts with parenting. And, you know, it really starts with mothering. And my friend Jen Vaughn, you know, had kids and she realized, oh, my God, this economy, this patriarchy, it's antithetical to life because it doesn't follow the form that a mother knows is life, which is the peace economy. And it's every culture. So I created so that you could pivot from the way the war economy was using you into a habit that needs to be practiced that creates the peace economy. Because it doesn't matter if we're mad at power and don't like what it's doing. Power is doing what it wants to do, and it will always do what it wants to do. So it just really doesn't give a whatever that we want. And we can sometimes hurt it, like with Biden, you know, making his numbers drop so he had to leave. But it doesn't mean any of the madness is going to stop. That just meant he had to move. And it's a lot of deck chairs moving, but the same violence continues. As many activists know, it's like, I've been giving everything to this, and, you know, oil production has increased, and, you know, all the bad stuff continues. It's because the system continues. And when people get mad at members of Congress, I'm like, they got elected to swear on a Bible to do exactly what they're doing, to serve the empire in its violence. And so, and, you know, the only really, we had a couple of really smart presidents. Eisenhower said, beware the military-industrial complex. And he told it to Kennedy. He said, your only job is to keep a break on the military-industrial complex, and they killed him for it. So just so we know what we're up against, the peace economy. So I had written a whole book, and then I said, people don't need more information. We know everything. What we need is support, like Code Pink, in practicing what needs to be done, because we need to create a peace economy, because nobody will leave the war economy until there's a peace economy to stand on.
Well, one of the things you say in this, you passed out this, I think it looks like a bookmarker, but it's really filled with all kinds of great information. And you say you are the seed for the local peace economy. How does one become the seed? I mean, what does that mean? What does that statement mean? How can people relate to that?
No, the first thing you do is just say, I am no longer going to serve the war economy. And that is what the workbook is about. Because once you start to go through the workbook, I turned it into a workbook to serve you in getting off the war economy and pivoting to cultivating a future that is the peace economy. Because we're not going to get the future we want unless we make it happen. So, and anybody that doesn't understand that, just look out. The empire, capitalism, war, they're all destroying the planet and culture. Basically, what gives us joy? And so, I mean, you know, if you look at the Palestinians, they are still finding joy and connection. They are a peace economy, the Palestinians. Their culture is a peace economy. It's like they're connected to life, which is why it is so profound that this is happening. Because I want to say Iraq and Libya were also more peace economies, where the money flowed to the people instead of to the capitalists.
Well, you know, and that's what I just want to say something while you're talking. What comes to my mind is the Vietnam War, because that's when I really became active and started to protest and all, I mean, and watching some of the things going on. I mean, you talked about even Watts. I remember when they had the Watts riot, I was trying to bring milk with my little girl. We didn't even have seatbelts then when I was driving in the car. But one of the things that comes to my mind as you're talking that people really need to be aware of, and that is when people are out there protesting, when they were protesting in the Vietnam, I mean, look at two students in Kent State were killed. But Robert McNamara came up with that darn book that said it was a mistake. And so to me, that said loud and clear that the people were right. And that's what we have to really focus on, that we, the people are usually ahead of the politicians.
No, the people, Elaine, are always right.
Right, exactly.
And the problem is we know we're there, we're experiencing it, we're connected to life. What the problem is in the United States, the people have given up all their power to power. And when power has, it's insane. It's psychopathic. It's like we're looking at it and trying to make it act rationally. When we have given our power away, it's all in one bucket. We've got to take it back. And so this is a way to take it back. And I say the way to take it back in cultivating a peace economy, first of all, it happens in steps. There's nowhere to go. It becomes the rest of your life. Everything you do inside of it brings joy and life and nourishment to yourself, to your community, to the future. So it's like it's a win-win when you're living a lose-lose. So everybody that pivots to it has more joy immediately in their life because actually they take their life back. I mean, let's start there. And then you start relating with the community because you can only do it in community because community holds us accountable. It helps us stay true to our commitments. But we live in a world there's no commitment, no truth, no community, like everybody. It's like go back to how indigenous cultures have survived and start practicing your way back to nourishing life. Yours, your communities, and the planet. And I promise you, like, you will be happier. There will be more joy. I mean, the one thing is maybe there'll be a little bit more harder work is what people say, but it's not work. What they realized was we've been also sold a bill of goods about being engaged and working and giving our effort because giving our efforts is what gives us joy. But we've been like dumbed down and that's why there's so much depression. It's because we're not in the creative. You know, one of the things that Wargonomy does is take away your creativity and imagination right away and harnesses it for its own use. So it's like people, I watch people in circles and community circles when they're starting to figure out like what they want to do locally. And at the end of it, like an hour and a half, everyone has said to me, I didn't know I had that inside me.
Well, let's hold that thought because we're coming to the end of the segment and I want people to know how they get a hold of your book, your website, and anything else that you'd like to say. I know this clock just ticks so quack, it just drives me crazy. I'm so sorry, but go ahead, hurry up.
Well, certainly if you, and the other thing is we say one half of my time I spend scratching at the war economy, trying to slow it down and shining a light on it and supporting a global community and being engaged. And the other half of my life, I am cultivating the future. So I recommend that to everyone, that it's like you can't stop shining a light on the violence. And yet the other half, we need to be creating the future because you can't just be against something. If you're not creating out of it, then you're just going to be in their game. They've got you in their game. So first of all, there's codepink.org to be engaged, and there's peaceeconomy.org to build the future and to build your everyday beauty. I would say it starts now, and there's a free workbook that you can download off the website. It's got questions to help prompt you in. And the workbook and the website work together to take you into a new world that's arising and growing. I want to say since I started this, I've moved almost $2 billion into local peace economy projects that are mostly Black and Indigenous led across the country. There are amazing things happening that blow my mind every day. That when people get together at actually creating for themselves, when you think that you're investing your time in and your taxes in and how horrible it is, when you start creating, it's just mind boggling. So, one last thing, I look at this like we've created global inequality, global climate change, you know, the threat of coming AI, which is patriarchy on steroids, and fascism, I look at it as a coming tsunami that, you know, we've kind of fallen asleep and let happen. But just like any good flood, you need to build an ark to get through it, and a local peace economy will get you through any tsunami.
Well, Jody Evans, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on this show. You've covered so much ground, so much ground, so much ground. And thank you so much. And thank you for the wonderful work you're doing. And all the information that you've given us will be on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com, so they can get a hold of you. So thank you once again for being with me.
Thank you for what you do and raising voices.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and especially shout out to Jody Evans for being such a wonderful guest from Code Pink. Thank you so much.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, September 9th, 2024.